In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. And we are going to tackle this Tim Walz creating problems for domes campaign and why they missed it. Talk a little bit more about the school board local election stuff, because Jewish producer Chris just brought something up. He actually made a really good point, which I think is the first time ever. We'll get to some emails. They're grabbing guns. We'll talk about Americans and their susceptibility. Well, all of us and our susceptibility to propaganda. All that, so much more coming up this final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Before I get to the Walz thing, which I teased, I actually do want to finish up this point. Because Chris brought up a really good point about, you know, I told you I was going to a school board forum tonight, and if it's open to the public, if we're allowed to ask questions, as you can imagine, I'm going to. And what Chris said to me during the break was, you're abnormal. That stuff doesn't make you uncomfortable. You need to inform everyone else. They'll get more comfortable the more they do it. He makes a good point. I enjoy that stuff because I hate politicians and the way they abuse their power. So I enjoy showing up in a public forum and abusing these people. But I understand it can be intimidating. I do. It can be intimidating. It gets your heart pumping. You're speaking in front of people. It's confrontation. People are uncomfortable with confrontation. If you're unlike me and you're a nice person, you don't like arguing. You don't like confrontation. I get all that. I'm not telling you to change your nature. You can't change your nature. But it is a good point that the more you show up at these things, ask questions. You don't have to yell and scream and make an idiot of yourself. Ask questions. Be direct. Be forceful. Make your voice heard. The more you do it, the easier it gets. The more you do it, the easier it gets. It's just like when I've encouraged you to run for local office. Because our future is legal and local. It's the way we can save this country. And because it's a healthy outlet for you. You feel hopeless because you're not involved. The second you get involved, you start to feel hopeful. Like you're contributing. Like you're doing something. It's helpful. If you're just sitting watching, it feels hopeless. You get involved, you feel more hopeful. So there's a laundry list of reasons to get involved. But if you're uncomfortable with that first speech, it's not something you do for a living. You're this, you're that. It will get easier every single time. Every single time, it will be easier than the time before it. I'm not going to say you're ever going to be some magnificent speech giver. I'm not saying you're going to be Ronald Reagan. You're not going to be that. I'm not going to be that. But it'll get easier and easier. So just get involved. Okay. Now let's deal with the Walz fallout. Because Walz, I may have been wrong about something post-debate. When we came on here post-debate, remember I said J.D. Vance, that was the best political debate performance I've ever seen in my life. As far as a national presidential debate. It was amazing. Walz, I said I didn't think he hurt Kamala Harris. He obviously wasn't great, and he looked terrible compared to J.D. Vance, but most people would have looked terrible compared to J.D. Vance in a debate like that. Whoever your favorite politician is, even the ones you like, they would have looked awful debating J.D. Vance on that stage. He's really, really, really good at it. Trump would have looked bad. DeSantis would have looked bad. The Democrats you hate would have looked bad. Ted Cruz, bad. If you, it doesn't matter how much you like him. That was the dude's really good at that. So your favorite politician wouldn't look that good. But Walls, I didn't think he looked as bad as I thought he was gonna, and I didn't think he hurt Dome. I may have been wrong about that, because for the last 48 hours, there's been a lot of anti-Walls protection in the American media. Politico ran an article today. The title was, it was something along the lines of, Walls misspeaks sometimes, and that's okay. Now, why would you even bother writing that article? Why bother? The only reason you would write that article, if you're a disgusting commie rag like Politico, is if your team had internals that showed Walls's lies are mattering to people. Lying about being a command sergeant major matters to people. Lying about being in combat matters to people. And these other huge lies he's told, lying about being in Tiananmen Square. And remember, Chris, grab it if you can. I told you I wasn't going to need it, but of course I need it. Remember, Tim Walls was actually, I can't believe they actually did it. He was asked about it during the debate, and he filibustered for as long as he could. I'm from a small town at Nebraska. He did the best he could to cover it up. But then in the end, he just simply said, I'm a knucklehead. And I didn't think that would move the needle. It was an uncomfortable answer. Yeah, I know it's long, Chris, but the length of it is the point. I want people to hear the filibuster part of it. But remember when he was asked about, hey, you claimed you were in Tiananmen Square. That was a friggin' lie. Remember his answer?
Governor Walls, you said you were in Hong Kong during the deadly Tiananmen Square protests in the spring of 1989. But Minnesota Public Radio and other media outlets are reporting that you actually didn't travel to Asia until August of that year. Can you explain that discrepancy?
Yeah, well, and to the folks out there who didn't get at the top of this, look, I grew up in small rural Nebraska, town of 400, town that you rode your bike with your buddies till the streetlights come on, and I'm proud of that service. I joined the National Guard at 17, worked on family farms, and then I used the GI Bill to become a teacher, passionate about it, a young teacher. My first year out, I got the opportunity in the summer of 89 to travel to China. 35 years ago, be able to do that. I came back home and then started a program to take young people there. We would take basketball teams, we would take baseball teams, we would take dancers, and we would go back and forth to China. The issue for that was to try and learn. Now look, my community knows who I am. They saw where I was at. Look, I will be the first to tell you, I have poured my heart into my community. I've tried to do the best I can, but I've not been perfect. And I'm a knucklehead at times, but it's always been about that. Those same people elected me to Congress for 12 years. And in Congress, I was one of the most bipartisan people, working on things like farm bills that we got done, working on veterans benefits. And then the people of Minnesota were able to elect me to governor twice. So look, my commitment has been from the beginning to make sure that I'm there for the people, to make sure that I get this right.
Yeah, he filibustered. He didn't answer it. His I'm a knucklehead thing. I knew it didn't sound good, but how do you make a lie sound good? How do you make a black and white lie sound good? If I sit here and say I was in New York City for 9/11, I was not. I was in the Marine Corps at the time. But if I sit here and say I was in New York City in 9/11, and then someone digs into it and says, Jesse, we have the dates. You were in 29 Palms Marine Corps Base, California on 9/11. I'm not a knucklehead. I'm a freaking liar. I lied. It's a black and white lie. I was not in New York City on 9/11. And to act like you were is a lie. But I didn't think it would resonate. Walls's lies are resonating. Walls, the governor of Minnesota, is below Kamala Harris in popularity in Minnesota. I've never seen that before. You pick a VP candidate in part because he's supposed to help you carry the state you picked him from. That's why almost all of them come from swing states. It's not an accident. The VP candidates always seem to come from Ohio, Florida, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona. That's what they do.
You grabbed walls to help you carry Midwest white guy who's a moron and votes Democrat. And you thought it would guarantee you Minnesota, which is always sold as a swing state, even though it goes Democrat every single time. Walls is below dome in Minnesota. And so you get articles like this. Walls says he, quote, speaks like everyone else, and it's not working for the campaign. This is from Politico. This is the ultimate commie rag. And then the little subtitle is, subheadline, key members of Harris's circle weren't aware of some of Walz's inaccurate statements until they became public despite the vetting process. How does that happen? How does that happen? Do you know what a presidential campaign is? It's a short-term billion-dollar corporation with a B. That's what a presidential campaign is. It has more employees and directors and VPs and offices than you can possibly imagine. So how could you miss all these lies when right-wing media found them 5 minutes after his announcement? Let's talk about the how. Next, before we get to that, how do you think your dog gets nutrition? Because you know your dog's a living, breathing thing, obviously. How do you think they give nutrition? Well, I'm sure you said dog food, but that would be incorrect, you see, because there's no nutrition in dog food. Dog food is dead food. Dog food is all brown because dog food is all dead. They kill it, everything in it in the factory. It's like giving your dog a fast food double cheeseburger for every meal. It's just empty calories. Even if Muffy likes the flavor, we got him the shrimp. He hates it. Sorry, Chris. Some dogs eat shrimp. But what does your dog do for nutrition? Nothing then. And that's why our dogs die too early. That's why their coats get dull, their breath stinks, their joints go bad, their eyes go to crap, their digestive system's terrible. Start putting Rough Greens on your dog's food. All natural nutritional supplement created by naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black. You just scoop a little green scoop. It's green powder. Pour it on the dog's food. Your dog will love it. Free Jumpstart trial bags. 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com or voicemails are fine, 877-377-4373. Tim Walls is hurting the Dome campaign. His endless lies. I was in combat. I was a command sergeant major. I was in Tiananmen Square. Endless lies are hurting the Dome campaign. Harris's campaign says they weren't aware of the lies until they became public despite the vetting process. How does that happen? How can a billion-dollar presidential campaign not vet properly? There are two reasons that happens. First, basic incompetence. Incompetence caused by communist priorities. You see, if I'm a Democrat, let's say I'm in charge of the Kamala Harris campaign. I am not running a meritocracy. So when I seek out a team, perhaps the team that's going to be vetting potential VP picks, well, it affects campaigns the exact same way it affects private businesses. If I start a cheeseburger company and I only hire the best, the brightest, the most polite people to work for me, and Jewish producer Chris starts a cheeseburger company and he has all these diversity requirements. No, we have to have so many Asians and black people. Do we have enough gays? Oh, we got to get a tranny in the mail department.
then my cheeseburger company is inevitably going to be better than Chris's. If you're a Democrat running a Democrat campaign, you have diversity quota after diversity quota. And the people who work for you are going to be dumber and less capable than the people who work for a campaign that is purely run on merit. Basic incompetence explains so much. In fact, we talk a lot about Helene right now and the failure of the government's response. Yes, a big part of it is because the government is evil and hates your guts and certainly doesn't care about rural red America. That's a huge part of it. Another part of it is we've spent decades now filling up our government with communists, so we hire them because they're gay. Or black, or whatever, Indian, or a million different reasons other than what matters. And so our government is run by the dumbest people in our society because they're all diversity hires. That's all right, so back to the Harris campaign. That's part of it. That's one of two reasons, basic incompetence. Another reason, and this is something we actually all have to guard against, is confirmation bias. You see, if you asked me, my kid runs cross country, James, he's awesome. I don't know what kind of kid goes to cross country practice in the morning, then gets home from school and goes for another long run. That's wild to me, but that's what James, I know it's just, that's what he does. But let's say I started coaching the cross country team. Believe me, I'm not going to. And I coached them for an entire season, all the boys, all the girls, an entire season. And you asked me to sit down and give an honest assessment of each kid. Who's valuable, who's not, who's lazy, who's this, who's that. I'll be honest with you. I love that freaking kid. James and Luke, my sons, I love them so much, it hurts me. That's how much I love being a dad. That's how much I love my buddies. If I had to give an honest assessment of his performance that year, I don't think I could. I really don't think I could, because I already have such a deep affinity for him. I could probably be honest about all the other kids. They're not my kids. It's not that I dislike them. I like them fine, but they're not my kids. I could be very honest. Well, she needs to work harder on this. He needs to break out harder out of the gates. He needs to learn how to pace it. I could be much more honest about those kids, but because I have such an affinity for James, I could never be totally honest. I couldn't. I'm his father. I love him. I'd die for him. The same thing happens when communists are vetting other communists. Tim Walz is a disgusting loser who has trashed the state of Minnesota. He did nothing while Minneapolis burnt. There's all kinds of insane left-wing lunacy going on there. And while you may be disgusted by that, and I may be disgusted by that, to the average American Democrat who's in charge of vetting Tim Walz, they love it. Tim Walz's wife is on camera talking about how she kept her windows down so she could smell the fires burning in Minneapolis. These are sick freak communists. And while that grosses you out and grosses me out, if you're part of Kamala Harris's vetting team and you find out Tim Walz was pouring gas on the fires of Minneapolis, you love him for it. And so you end up, yeah, you may see a lie here or a lie there. Whatever, who cares? He's a revolutionary. We love Tim. That's how these things happen. How could they miss it? Confirmation bias is real and incompetence is real. All right, let's get to how propaganda works, or an example of it working, some emails and some other things. Before we do that, let's do this. Speaking of 9/11, let's remember that's where Tunnel to Towers began. In the wake of 9/11, all that pain, all that tragedy, all those people dead, an organization arose wanting to care for the first responders, their families, the ones who had fallen. Who's going to care for them? Tunnel to Towers decided, you know what? We will. And then war began, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Gold Star families started piling up around the country. tunnel to towers looked and said, who's going to care for those families now? And they said, we will. Here I am. Send me. That's what Tunnel to Towers does to this day. When the firefighter dies in training, Tunnel to Towers is there. When the soldier doesn't come back, Tunnel to Towers is there. Tunnel to Towers is there caring for these families when their loved ones don't come home. And that's where your $11 a month goes. And more than 95 cents of every dollar goes right to its programs. Unheard of. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, an amazing Thursday. All right, I'm going to do a couple emails before I get into this. Propaganda, a great example of how it works and how powerful kind of that sky is green stuff is. Man alive, this is a... I didn't see that one coming, but you always got to remind yourself people are susceptible to propaganda. Let's do some emails first. Jesse, I have to listen, or I listen to you say Commie Dems rage listen to your show. What would you say your average listener does when they listen? I feel like the show is as heavy as 10 boxes you might have to carry sometime.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
But most of the time, I have a big grin on my face just waiting for the next bit of commie raging comedy. I love the show. His name is Ben. What do most people do when they listen? You know what's really weird? It's just to have a talk here. It's really weird that the show has kind of grown into this big national thing. Because when Chris and I did the very first show we ever did, which is the first show 6 years ago, we were in a room. We were in a studio. I was sitting there at a desk with a microphone, and Chris was, I mean, it was a little smaller, but Chris was in his little nerd producer room with all the buttons and knobs and crap that he has to push. And you know, 6 years later, it's this big national show, and we're super important now. But I'm still sitting here by myself with a microphone. Room's a little bigger. They got cameras all around me and all this fancy stuff now, but it's still just me and a desk and a microphone. And Chris, and now Corey beside him, still sitting over there in the production room. It's kind of the same here. So we don't... things have to happen in order for us to have any real appreciation for what the show means to people, what they do when they listen to it, Remember when I did the book tour? I wrote the book, just a national bestseller. I don't want to brag. The Anti-Communist Manifesto, which is available at jessekellybook.com. And I did that. I did the book tour where we did four or five cities. I know everyone was mad I didn't come to their city, but we did four or five cities. And we showed up at the first stop, and the line was around the block. It was something like 400 people. It was supposed to be, I think it was supposed to be, I forget the details, 2 hours, and it had to go four to get everyone there. And I thought, okay, well, the first one was in the Houston area. The next one won't be like that. They were all like that. The line was around the block. I had no idea that many people even liked the friggin' show. I had no idea. And then you get emails, the emails of what people do when they listen, it runs the gamut. It's a lot of people listen when they drive. Most of the people listening on the radio are driving home from work, maybe to work if you work a double shift, maybe at work if you have a kind of job where you can have the radio on the background. Bunch of construction dudes will just turn the show on and blast it, which I think is really freaking cool. People will listen that way. A lot of people who podcast it, you know, because you can download a podcast of it on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. They do anything because all that requires is having your phone. People work out. I wouldn't do that. I would like to listen to music when I work out, but a lot of people like it. It helps them when they do cardio. It's just something to distract you from the misery you're going through. People do it when they mow the lawn. A lot of women do it. A lot of women seem to do it when they're making dinner. They turn it on when they're making dinner. The kids are there doing homework. It's something in the background. A lot of dudes do it when they're in the garage doing woodworking, stuff like that. People have a million different things they do when they listen, which so weird to me. Good weird, not bad weird, not Tim Walz weird, good weird. Jesse, I was just listening to you talk about reclining air seats on your show. My son is just about as tall as you and has a similar story about the seat ahead not being able to recline because his knees were pressed all the way into the seat. Look, I only told that story for my own selfish reasons, me and all the other tall people out there. If you're not super tall, you have an honest excuse for not realizing putting the airplane seat back might be physical agony for someone behind you. But if you're not super tall, you don't realize that. You've never had to concern yourself with that. When I, my wife, when she rides in the passenger seat, because I don't let her drive because I'm a man, when she's in the passenger seat, she will put down the visor, the sun visor. She puts it down. She's done that her entire life. My wife is 5'2". Her father is not tall. No one in her family is tall. No one's tall. She's 5'2". She's tiny. I am 6'8". You can put the visor down when you're riding with other people who are 5'5". I need that area of vision. I've had to explain to her. She gets it now, but she never got it before. How would she get it? She's 5'2". I had to explain to her, you can't do that when someone who's 6'8 needs to see out of that portion of the window. Please put the visor back up and get some sunglasses. The visor needs to stay up. I'm sorry, but how would she ever know? It's not her fault. She's 5'2". She could put a sunscreen over half the window and she'd still be driving, looking through the steering wheel like all the rest of you midgets. Anyway, the American people hate the grocery store now, which is interesting. It shows you how propaganda works. Trends in Americans' opinion. This is from Gallup. In 2020, over 60%, looks like about 65% of the American people had a positive view of the grocery industry. You know what that number is today? 33. And what it shows you is how effective propaganda can be. Grocery prices started going through the roof because of endless government action, government shutdowns, government spending, government this, government that. Grocery stores run on profits that honestly I don't understand. Grocery stores run on about 1 or 2%. Even huge grocery store chains, around 1 or 2% is the profit margin they run on. That's absurd. I don't know of any other industry that runs on margins that small. It's crazy they're still in business with margins that small. You have no, pardon the pun, margin for error. You have 1 or 2%. That's insane. Grocery stores don't make a lot of money. But when you're an evil communist and your policies have made people's groceries more effective and you spend enough time running to the podium saying things like this.
If you're anything like me, you like to be surrounded by a snack or two while watching the big game. You know, when buying snacks for the game, you might have noticed one thing. Sports drinks bottles are smaller. A bag of chips has fewer chips, but they're still charging it just as much. And as an ice cream lover, what makes me the most angry is that ice cream cartons have actually shrunk in size, but not in price. I've had enough of what they call shrinkflation. It's a ripoff. Some companies are trying to pull a fast one by shrinking the products little by little and hoping you won't notice. Give me a break. The American public is tired of being played for suckers. I'm calling on companies to put a stop to this. Let's make sure businesses do the right thing now.
Oh, believe me, there are industries who will take advantage of certain things and they will price gouge. The grocery store isn't one of them. But Democrats, of course, and their media allies launched a, quote, price gouging campaign against grocery stores, and public approval of the grocery industry got cut in half because some brain-dead geriatric in the White House told you shrinkflation was the fault of Piggly Wiggly. That shows you just how effective propaganda can be and how programmable so many Americans are. All right, let's do a couple more emails. We get the headlines I didn't get to, and then we're checking out of here until tomorrow. Before we do that, let's talk about war and what it does to the civilian population. That's the most heartbreaking part of war. It's what made World War II more uniquely terrible than really any other war in the history of mankind. It was the civilian suffering. Right now, civilians in Israel are suffering. They are. The lack of food, the lack of shelter, the lack of a place. Where do you go when Iran launches 180 ballistic missiles on your major population centers? Where do you go? Well, you better get your butt to a bomb shelter. How are you going to get in one of those? Hopefully someone built one. Who built one? The IFCJ. The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. They're building bomb shelters. They're providing food, providing safety, bulletproof ambulances. They are on the ground. They're not over here shipping things, FedEx. They're on the ground doing everything they can do to help support these people and get them through to the end. Help them, help them. Call 888-488-IFCJ. Or go online to supportifcj.org. That's supportifcj.org. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of The Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. So get your questions emailed in right now. Ask me anything. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. We'll spend the whole show answering your emails and voicemails. 877-377-4373. There are portions of the American public that are waking up, large portions, waking up to what the true evil, the true threat to this country is. I want you to listen to something. This is on MSNBC, and this is an impeachment witness of Trump. This is a Trump impeachment witness. Listen to what this guy says now.
I've now lived 4 years under the Biden-Harris policies, and I have to say that those policies are not only becoming an existential threat to our country's way of life, but to our allies as well.
So when you
and it
this
has
is,
to,
this is no, so no, Ambassador, let me, no. This is, I'll let you finish, but no, this is so finish. Striking. You said it was a no for me after that,
January 6th. I did.
And here we are right now.
I did.
And you're saying it's a yes for you.
It is a yes for me. It is an absolute yes for me. That is how badly the Biden-Harris team have prosecuted their job.
But the whole point you seemed to be making was that January 6th and that kind of attack on democracy is bigger than any
but
policy.
I am seeing so many attacks on democracy that eclipse January 6th.
Wow. people are slowly waking up. Slowly waking up to what is happening. And remember, they used January 6th. Whatever you think about January 6th, Democrats love it. You think they hated it? They love it. It was used as a reason to crack down and arrest a bunch of Republicans. It's been used as a campaign prop against Trump and every other Republican. January 6th has worked out amazingly well for Democrats. Oh, and then there's this guy. This is the dean of the Columbia has a journalism school. This is the dean. Now, I just want to make sure I say that again. Columbia. Fancy. Columbia. They have a journalism school. Ivy League Columbia. This is the dean of it. The communist only cares about power.
Why do we have it? What's one of the big reasons we have it?
He's asking him, why do we have an electoral college?
Why do we have it? What's one of the big reasons we have it?
So one of the reasons that we have, the really fundamental reason we have it, is to balance out the political power of large states and smaller states. Now, that's a generic answer.
Yes.
The real answer
yes.
is that it was a means by which slaveholders would be able to use the bodies of the people they were holding in slavery
right.
to count in the census in order to give them additional political power.
The legal industry and the medical industry are the two most horrifying industries right now because your doctor hates you. Your next judge hates you. Or potentially does. I shouldn't say they do. In a while, they will. They all will. Because the medical institutions and legal institutions at the highest levels have been taken over by these people. It's wild to think about. Wild. All right. Before we do headlines, let's do another email. Fellow son of Ohio, I've been listening to the Oracle Daily for about 4 years now. Congrats on the growing audience. Well deserved. I admire your often admission of unsuccessful congressional runs as it takes confidence and humility. However, I think what you do now has a larger impact on our beloved country than Congress ever would have. Keep up the great work. Yeah, look, I mean, you look back on it and it hurt, man. It hurt. It hurts to run that hard and believe because I was a true believer then, just like I am now. And then you work hard and you think, I had convinced myself it was destiny. You ever had something like that in your life? Maybe you're trying to make a sports team or you're trying to talk to a pretty girl you like and you've already convinced yourself it was destiny. I had convinced myself that I was destined for Congress because I was going to go clean out that swamp and I was going to go kick some butt. And then election night happens twice and you're the loser. You're the guy who didn't make it. And I'll tell you, man, it hurt. Friggin' hurts bad. And I look back now and I see how all that was used for good. And shoot, I wouldn't go to Congress if you paid me to now. You'd have to pay me in real estate, though, because that's the only place that's worth putting your money now. Hard assets. Hard assets. There is a debt crisis. It's already here. They're lying about it, but it's already here. I'm not going to say it's coming. It's here. You're starting to see it. You're starting to feel it. It's here. So what do you do with your money? Hard assets. Real estate can't miss. I know real estate markets go up and they go down. So what markets do you... Let Done For You Real Estate handle that. They'll find you the best property in the best market. They'll handle the financing. They handle the closing paperwork. They handle the rental process. Let them handle it for you. And what you're doing, you're beginning to generate consistent tax-free income over time. You couldn't retire on that. You realize that? People have retired on Done For You Real Estate. You start with one house, turns into three, turns into 10. You're retiring and leaving it to your kids. How do you do that? Is this just for millionaires? Not at all. It's for you. Go to doneforyoujesse.com. And by the way, when you go there, if you use the promo code Jesse, you get a free book of theirs. It's called Micro Wins to Millions. It's excellent. DoneForYouJesse.com.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Massachusetts Governor Mara Healey to rush sweeping gun control measures into law to avoid voter scrutiny. Remember, the communist hates your guns, not because of school shootings or crime. He understands full well those things aren't a result of guns at all. He hates your guns because they are the ultimate limit on his power. Never give them up. Will Smith farted on Men in Black set and the crew was evacuated for 3 hours. I got to be honest, that's really disgusting. But at the same time, if I was able to evacuate an area for 3 hours, I'd probably laugh and brag to my friends about it. Biden opposes Israeli retaliatory strike on Iranian nuclear sites. Biden opposes anything that might affect his reelection. And that's the only thing Biden opposes. The Rear Admiral Buttigieg, that's not actually in the headline, Rear Admiral Buttigieg goes to bat for the union, says that shutting down America's ports over... I completely screwed the headline up. Pete Buttigieg goes to bat for the union that's shutting down America's ports over a 77% pay raise. Pete Buttigieg may use a bat, but he's not ever going to bat for anybody. Former Marvel showrunner Bo DeMeo claims Disney told him to make X-Men's 97 characters less gay. It's kind of funny. Disney shares downgraded as theme parks face more trouble. Woke streaming series flops. Gosh, the day Disney finally implodes on itself is going to be amazing. What a poisonous company that has become. I will see you tomorrow for Ask Dr. Jesse. Friday, I'm off to a school board forum. Yippee! That's all.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast's like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.